Let's all bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins. So we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for your message, Lord. I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or ability to pray. I put up or rather to teach your word. I put all of my confidence in your message, Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus and help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to speak as an oracle of God today. Teach me, Lord, help me to bring out of trade of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto kingdom. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit, to cause our wills to become more humble, to cause our minds to further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and the emotions to further controlled by the power of the Spirit. I ask for grace to help to redeem time, not to say things unnecessary. Thank you, Father, for your message. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, for your love and help. I set at my right hand, Lord, as I go into work today. I talk on that covering of my spiritual appearance. I'm trusting that covering will help me, Lord, to teach today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the title of my message today is Total Salvation in the Time of Jacob's Trouble. Let's say it together. Total Salvation in the Time of Jacob's Trouble. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 and read from verse 6. Jeremiah 30 verse 6. Let's read. Pastor Wale was sharing so beautifully last Wednesday. I think it was last Wednesday. You know, from two mutable things. God cannot lie. And he read the scripture. So, what does he say? Ask ye now. Let's read that. Ask ye now. And see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man, say every man, both Christian and unbeliever, are you following me? With his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. There's a tribulation going on right now. Next verse. Alas, alas means sorrow. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even what? The time of what? Jacob's trouble, not Esau's trouble. It's the time of what? Jacob's trouble. Somewhere in Psalms, it talks about, it says that the rich people, you know, don't obey God's commandments. He said they are not troubled at all. Yes. I follow him. He said it's the time of what? Jacob's trouble. Now, God now begins to define why he has allowed that trouble to come. He said, but what? He shall be what? Saved out of it. Next verse. Next verse, please. For it shall come to pass in that day, that time of Jacob's trouble, said the Lord of hosts, that I will do what? Break his yoke. Say, break his yoke from off thy neck. And will what? Burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But they shall what? Serve the Lord their God, and what? David their king. They're not only going to serve God, they're going to serve David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That means at that time, he had not raised them up. I follow me. Next verse. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, said the Lord. Neither be what? Dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall what? Return, and shall be in rest, and be what? Quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Praise the Lord. Now let's just break this in down. I went through it again. I was able to divide these verses into seven things. They follow each other. You see, Bible says God declares the end from the beginning. So God began to say, alas, it's time of Jacob's trouble. And he says something, he declares the end, he said, but he shall be saved out of it. So that is the end point of where we are going to. We should focus on the end and not on the trouble. Praise the Lord. So the next thing he says, I put it there, just 1-7. He says, it will break in that season his yoke of thy neck. That talk about the yoke of sin. We'll see as we continue. And it says it will burst thy bonds. But I talked about the whole creation is in bondage to sin. Are you following me? And it says that number 4 says that after, not until that is done, then strangers shall no more starve themselves of him. And after that, he now says that they shall serve God. And then point number 6, they serve David their king, and Jacob shall return. You see, if you don't break those bonds, if Jacob is not saved and the strange children are not removed, you see, Jacob can never enter rest. We need to see those steps there. So God will break that yoke of and burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of me. Let's look at that Jeremiah 38 in the Amplified. So right now, strange children are in control of the majority of the church. The pastor has taught us. They are just fleecing the sheep. What does it say? For it will come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break what your precious yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers will no more make slaves of the people of Israel. They're not just talking about strangers, we're talking about the leadership of the church. Strange children, whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I follow him. So God is good. So when God does that, until he does that, can God's people serve God? You know, Bible says, just Christ said, you scribes and Pharisees, you sit in Moses, you allow those that want to enter. So you see, God has to remove them. I don't allow those that want to enter. You hinder them. So God has to remove them. There's no compromise about this thing. God has to remove these strange children. So when he removes them, then people's eyes will be open to serve God. I follow him. After they now begin to serve God, they now begin to also serve David, whom he will raise up for them. A type of a perfect leadership. It's going to become so obvious who you are going to serve. Then shall you discern between the righteous and the wicked. They that serve God and them that serve him not. When the spirit measure, without measure, is being manifest. I follow him. So you see, well, then now said, after that, Jacob shall return and shall be enriched. But before Jacob returns, what I want to point out, I just want to move on as I was preparing again, last minute, this thing came to me. You see, Jacob cannot enter into rest except he serves David.
Amen.
Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. What does he say? He said, curse not my daughter that I find rest for you. I follow him. You see, so there are stages. If what was possible, he declared the beginning from the end, he will save Jacob. How is he going to save Jacob? He will break that yoke of sin, bonds, you know, boss bonds. He removed those strange children. When he removed the strange children, and then the next thing he's going to do is that they now begin to serve God and David their king. So as they serve David their king under the right leadership, under the right atmosphere, that first of all bring them to a measure of rest. So as they follow on through the bold anointing, they themselves will now enter into rest. He says that they shall return. Have you seen it? Do you put in Ruth 3:1? He says that Naomi was talking to Ruth. He said, cry not that I find rest for you. But you see, Naomi could not say that until Ruth had followed her back to Bethlehem, Judah. There is no rest for Orpah because she did not follow after. I follow me. So what are we saying? He said, Jacob shall return and shall be in rest. Isaiah 35 verse 10 says that the righteous, the ransom of Lord shall return. Where is Jacob returning to? To Zion. I follow me. And then he says, Isaiah 30:15. In returning, you shall find rest. Just mentioning those scriptures, you know, to set the perimeter for sin. Say, for thus said the Lord God, the only one of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall your strength shall be your strength, and you will not. You see, so it is as they follow the ransom return to Zion, shall they find rest. We're going to talk about that because that is the end for Jacob. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that there yet remained a rest for what? The people of God. Now, presently, as Pastor taught us in that brief remark, he said something, I just quote. He said, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has come into a time or a season of spiritual tribulation. Say, let's say spiritual tribulation. You see, we are not talking about the tribulation that's going to come, you know, when the Antichrist is manifested, but the church is already in spiritual tribulation. Are you following me? And, or trouble. And this trouble or tribulation is both within and without. Are you following me? And he says that in which God is going to be bringing severe judgments upon the church, which is supposed to act as a catalyst to cause the church to speedily and effectively use the blood, word, and spirit to learn righteousness unto perfection by cleansing out the sin nature from the soul and the body in order to inherit the double glory. You see, if there is no tribulation, the church will not learn righteousness. But says, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants shall learn righteousness. Some of us are not going to learn to pray until there is pressure. But see, the spiritual tribulation does not perfect us. It acts as a catalyst. I follow me. He quickens the reaction, the chemical, but it is not affected by it. It's not consumed that reaction. So you see, it is not the tribulation that you go through, or the persecution. It is the blood, the word, and the spirit that you use in the midst of that tribulation that will cleanse out the sin nature and get ready to receive the double glory. So it's very, very important. That's what I'm saying in Acts 11:22. It says that through much tribulation, Acts 14:22. The through much, say, let's say much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom, not small. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. So, you know, Pastor Ali was sharing with us last week, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago, Wednesday. He was talking about that tribulation. Already, we can already see it in the world. You see, God says you are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. There will be wars, there will be famines, you know, in diverse places. He said, these are the beginning of sorrows. And he gave the example which Pastor expatiated on. It's like a woman. You see, we are no more, the husband is no more taking, the woman is right on now on the in the labor ward. Position to give birth. That is where we are now. So you need to begin to feel the birth pangs. It's because if we do not, that's why God has allowed the tribulation to come. You know why? It's like when a woman is pregnant, they give her pitocin to induce contraction. So you see, God is not going to stop it until the child is born. He's not going to stop it until the child is born. He said, these are the beginning of sorrows. The Bible says, these are the beginning. We are right about the middle now. Are you following? But see, don't expect that thing to stop. It's not going to stop until the child comes forth. It's going to intensify. It's supposed to push you to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to effectively use that blood to perfect the love of God. Are you following me? So Matthew 24 verse 7. Let's just put the scripture behind the Pastor Wale quote. Matthew 24 verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be what? Famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. It's been happening before, but the frequency has increased. The contraction has increased. I thought God has put that catalyst there. Next verse. And these are the what? The beginning of sorrows. The bad pangs. Let's look at Mark 13, verses 8 and 9. What does it say? For nation, the same thing. For nation shall what? Rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. And there shall be famines and troubles. Let's say troubles. These are what? The beginning of sorrows. So it is time of Jacob's trouble. So there is trouble outside, and Jacob is also troubled within. You see, but the essence of that is for Jacob, so to speak, to give birth to Christ. Amen. So let's look at Hosea chapter 13, verse 13. Very important scripture. What does it say? The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. It's come upon the church today. That pastor was talking about in Revelation 12:12. It says that he is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. You see, we are in a time that we should hasten his coming. We cannot afford to stay long. See, because if you stay long, you give the dragon enough time to kill that baby. He said, immediately he was born, he was caught up. So, that is why God is giving us strength, like the Hebrew men, to give back quickly. So that Pharaoh's decree, so to speak, will not come to pass. They could not kill the man child. Are you following me? So it says, sons of Solomon, I've come and said, but Ephraim is a wise or unwise son. Put it amplified. What makes him unwise? Bible says, Ephraim is joined unto an idol. Let him alone. Idolatry, covetousness. If you follow after that, you are going to be an unwise person. You're not going to, it's going to blind your eyes. You're not going to have an understanding of the reason why the pressure is coming on. Let's see. The pains of a woman in childbirth are coming on for him to what? To be born. Said to be born. To be born. But he's an unwise son. For now it is time to be born. He comes not to the place where unborn children break forth. He needs due birth, but makes no effort to acquire it. That is where we are now. You see, Ephraim is comfortable to live in the wilderness. You see, the womb bear is a type of wilderness. Manna every day from the umbilical cord. He's not ready to go to the promised land. Where man, you know, once you give back to a child, there's no more food from the umbilical cord. They will cut it. So God wants Ephraim to come out so he can go to the promised land of the perfection and fullness of Christ, where he will now begin to sow and to reap into that land that flows with milk and honey. I'll mention some, I hope I'll get there today, you know, based on all the confession our pastor gave us. This last confession, I feel my will, my emotions, with love, joy, and peace. One day, let me just mention, don't forget, now it comes to me. You see, I woke up the very next day. As I woke up, I just took that confession. I filled my mind with emotions. But I took it. I got out of bed. Lord now spoke to me. He said, what you are doing is this. I'm paraphrasing. I mean, when I say, Lord speaks to me, not that he's talking. I just see it. I just see what I'm doing. What's going on. So the Lord spoke to me and said, look, this is what I'm saying. Your Bible says that possess ye your soul, which is the etapa of promised land. That's the land that flows to make our money. The ability of the mind of Christ to make our money in the land. Now you see, when you begin to take those confessions, God said, look, he told them, he said, I'm going to send these nations out little by little. It's not at once. And follow me. Now, God said, I will go before you and I will drive them out. So it's not me. So who is God? It's love. When you say, Father, feel my will. My mind will love joy. You see, you are beginning to, God is beginning to love, begin to feel that will, mind, emotions, with the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to drive away the will. But a perfect love casteth out fear. So when you begin to make those confessions, what you are doing literally is you are beginning to cast out not just fear, pride, all the giants in the land. There are seven of them. So that's literally what is happening. Are you following me? So is that how you're going to possess the land? But says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. As you are consistent in doing that thing every day, gradually you will possess that soul, and then you now begin to eat from the land that flows with milk and honey. You know, I want to preach a bit. You know, Paul said something. He said in Acts chapter 26, verse 8, he said something. He said that what he was telling Agrippa, he said, how come? What do you think is an incredible thing we do for God to raise the dead? I put it there. He said, how come you? He couldn't. He said, why, Agrippa? He said, why do you think it's an incredible thing for God to raise the dead? Put it there. Why do we think it's an impossible thing for God to give us this incredibility that Pastor was talking about, the incredible photographic memory? Why do you think it's impossible? Are we trying to say that Satan's ability to destroy or distort is stronger than God's ability to create or to give? So put it Acts 26 also. I think Acts 26 verse 8. It says, why should it be taught? It's at the thought level. Yeah. So why should it be taught a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why should it be taught a thing incredible with you that God should give you the ability of the mind of Christ? Hey. Why do you believe that Satan can stop him from giving you? I mean, what he has done than God's ability. Let's move on. So what are we saying? So what is Jacob's trouble? Or what is troubling Jacob? Let's say together three things. The sin nature that is in Jacob's soul and body. Then also the sin in the air. And also those that trouble Israel. Bad leadership. That is Jacob's problem. He has them. The sin nature in his flesh. Romans 8:10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That troubles Jacob all the time. He's carrying it around. The carnal mind is in enmity with God. It can never please God. That is Jacob's number one trouble. Jacob's number two trouble is the sin nature in the air. The prince of power, Ephesians 2:2 says that the prince, where in times past you walked according to the course of the world, even according to the prince of power of the air. I'll give another scripture that God showed me. You see, from this, let's go from this point of view. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. What is he talking about, Saul? He said, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord. That's the God from daddy. Who did what? Troubled Saul. So there's that prince of power here that troubles, agitates the one that is within. Yeah. Are you following me? So the thought, that's what, then the thought thing is that those that trouble Israel, bad leadership. God wants to get rid of those things. The sin nature in the soul and body. That's why I said Jacob shall be saved. He'll break that yoke. He's going to destroy. He's also going to overcome. You see what I say? When we are caught up, like Pastor was sharing, we displace the prince of the power of the air. And then thought he's going to remove bad leadership. Let's look at Ahab, for example. Talking about those that trouble Jacob. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. So, you know the story. Ahab saw Elijah coming, and he said to him, he said, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, are thou he that troubled Israel? With all this, your message you are preaching, you want us, you know, you don't want us to enjoy this idolatry that we are immersed in. Next verse. So he said, and he answered, have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that what? You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. You see, once you forsake the commandments of life and love, you are going to follow Baal. I'd like you to go back. Because the end of requirement is charity out of a pure heart, unfeigned, faith, unfeigned. So once you forsake these commandments, which was Ahab's problem, you're automatically going to follow Balaam. Covetousness. Are you following me? Let's look at Saul. The same thing. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 29. This one came out of Saul's son, Jonathan. What does he say? He said, then said Jonathan, my father had what? Troubled the land. The sword that is causing the problem that we have in our nation, Nigeria. They are the ones that are troubling the land. He said, my father, this came up on his son, told his spiritual son, because what happened, you know the story, his father said he should not eat. And then he took his sword, I don't want to go into that, tasted on it, and his eyes were open. You see, they don't preach revelation knowledge. I follow him. They don't preach. So when he tasted it, wow, this perfection, So what have I been doing all this time? That means it has been hungry. People, they have been hungry. But they said, you must not eat. That is, don't eat. I follow him. So let's just move on. So Proverbs 23. Yes, wisdom is like honey. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Proverbs 23. I don't know the verse of it. He said, wisdom is like honey. You see, so until Jonathan tasted honey, you know, which is revelation of perfection, that same book that was given to John to eat. Are you following me? Said, wow. So what have I been eating all these years? God told them, revelation said, you make my people eat things offered to idols. Let's look at Achan, Joshua chapter 7, verse 25. Help me, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on me, Lord. And Joshua said, you see, I'm reading the scriptures because of time. We know the background. They had entered the land. But this guy did what he shouldn't do. You know, Achan. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, this time of Jacob's trouble. And all they stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Like Pastor said, we're not going to stone anybody. But we're going to see how this thing will operate as we continue the message. It's going to be done by the Spirit. Selective judgment. By the Spirit, not by you. That's why you pray in tongues. That's why you pray in tongues. So what are we saying? How is this going to? How does this operate? I said it. Satan operating through the air impinges upon the soul and the body and circumstances of men upon the earth. That's how he does it. So that is why God now, instead of stopping him, he uses Satan as a catalyst. God is so wise. As I said, I'm the one that created the waster to destroy. But he said, no weapon, no tribulation. Are you following me? That is formed or fashioned against you shall prosper or shall overcome you. So God allows it. But God expects you to use what he has given you to overcome it. So that he can seal Satan's destiny. That pastor has taught us. No, we're praying the prayer that, you know, to seal Satan's destiny. You know, God just as has prayed for, I'm not going to hell. But see, God needs a legal basis to lock him up permanently. So understand it, let it be clear. God will keep on allowing him to come. But Bible says that when the enemies are coming like a flood, the Spirit of God will, all God wants to do is that, believe me, I want you to come in. Once he has come in, then I'll take it again. Until his cup of iniquity is full. Praise the Lord. So, why is God about to do this? Or why is Jacob in this time of trouble? We practically mentioned it. I said that God wants to save Jacob. Salvation here is not just spirit. It's spirit, soul, and body. We need to have that at the back of our mind. You see here, Jacob is as a type of a born-again Christian. Who is Jacob? Jacob is somebody that is willing to deny himself in order to get his inheritance. He has a good heart, not Esau. Well, I allowed him to take that pottage. But he still has sin in his flesh. And he cannot get that inheritance until God removes or incorporates God and gets rid of that sin nature before God can give him that. God can't trust him with it. Are you following me? So, God wants to save Jacob. You and I, spirit, soul, and body. We've been saved in our spirits. God wants to save our souls and bodies. That's the whole essence of this message. Perfection. But that's why the trouble has come. When the trouble comes now, you are now forced to begin to be more diligent. Now, you're not what you do. Maybe you used to pray once in every hour, once every. Don't, let me say those instructions. You don't do them diligently. Now, when you see that the trouble is there, you discover that the trouble is right within you, but you understand, and it's outside there. You find that thing, people don't pray until things have. Look at in the book of Acts of Apostles, when they took Peter James. They know what was praying. But when the tribulation came upon them, and they said, wow, it's going to kill this guy, they started praying. It's the same thing. It's just human nature. This way of resistance. We don't like to, you know, see nature. You see, we don't want to pray. You know, come for all night. Nobody wants to come. Come, you know what? All this one, our pastor is saying, I don't have any problem. I have a good job. You know, blah, 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 blah. I have children, all that. But if I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I'm like that. I've learned your status. But you don't need to wait. We need to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why as you go on. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. God said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body, and preserve you blameless until the coming. These are clear scriptures. It is a Lord preserve you whole, spirit alone. It's spirit, soul, and body. It needs to be clear. Unto the coming, not after the coming. That is, he must meet you ready when he comes. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:9 says that, you know, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. We know the scriptures, but it's good to put ourselves in remembrance of them. So we're not so that we don't rest until our souls are saved. In fact, that is the rest that remains for the people of God. The second point I have here is that it is only those whose souls and bodies have been saved, or those that are under them, that God can trust and count faithful to carry the spirit without measure. Absolutely. It's not possible. It's simple, but that's what happened to Jacob. Let me read the scripture. You understand what I'll use it to preach. You know, Proverbs 25 verse 19. What does it say? Proverbs 25 verse 19. It says that confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, what, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You see, Jacob, when his joint was in place, he was going everywhere like Peter, being led by his own flesh. Trickster and everything. When he faced Esau, that was his own time of trouble. And God knows that. You see, God wants to remove that confidence. I follow him. So God could not trust. You see, he brought him to a place whereby, like Paul said, we have the circumcision of that and we have no confidence in the flesh. That is, he could no longer trust him. Can you imagine? You want to run away from somebody. Instead of giving him a bike or something, you now remove, touch the hollow of his thigh. So yeah, run and let us see. So, you know, he had to be totally dependent on God. Because Esau is here. God had taught, he came to God for salvation. And God's salvation was to touch all of his heart, change his walk, his love walk. So he faced Esau. So you see, in that state, he, assuming God, so God cannot have confidence in you if you still have that sin nature in you. Or maybe he dominates you, let's say, 60% of the time. So, in the process of growth, you have to be under the covering or leadership of those that have flushed out that sin nature. I follow me. So that will cover your infirmities. I follow what I'm trying to say. Let me give an example. Some time ago, about some weeks ago, I sat on the course and I was talking to God. I said, God, why all this tribulation? I don't understand. You know, me and my wife will argue at times and all that. You know, I say, God, what will this end now? That me and my wife will just be no hala, rest. So, you're laughing. No, God told me. He said, if you have run with footmen and they weigh you, what will you do when all us men? Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Let me explain to you so you understand. There is persecution coming when the glory comes, both within the church and outside the church. So, all the challenges you face in your interpersonal relationships, they're about to preparation. So, I said, I'm allowing them to control, you can perfect that love. But if you are getting weak now with all this one said this, that one said this, and you cannot just watch it and move on, what are you going to do when they come and carry you and then they push you and want to throw you down? If God, Jesus Christ, Lord, our master has not forgiven them, he will have died, though. They have thrown him down. But from that time to that time, you have forgiven them, asked for life. So love was in that, or else that love first, we know it just came and just walked through them. So God said, if you are struggling with Pastor Andrew, this one, there this one, and he's wearing, when the real persecution breaks out? So take advantage of it. He's wearing you. What are you going to do when the real guy's coming? I follow him. When the real guys come in from outside the world, the pastor was talking about, he said, by hatred of all men for my name's sake, how are you going to escape? That was a secret that John learned, that the others did not perfect. They didn't perfect it. John perfected it. I said, how fair. So you see, he had learned master that it took him boiling, it stopped boiling. He had perfected it. Peter too, now that God put Peter with his mother-in-law in the same house with his wife. So you can imagine. So when you look at those things happening in your circumstances, your office, your job, and all that, you understand why God has done it. You see, God wants that thing, that fruit to come out. That is the tribulation. He doesn't want to take you away from it. He wants you to perfect. So that when you perfect, you see, David could not kill Goliath until he killed the bear and the lion. So he wants to first of all face those things. Papa, I've quoted a scripture, I can't remember, just come to me. He says, as if a man saw a lion free from me, saw a bear, he dodges. Then I go into his house, go. And just let him rest now. He says, stop and beat him. What you are running away from, you are still going to meet it in the house. So why don't you just face it? Face it now, perfect love of God. Because when we begin, people now begin, nations begin to hate us. You are not going to command fire to come and kill them so that I can escape. You just tell them, but look, no. Peter, put back your sword. This is not the time to kill them. Or like Elisha, once he brought them and then he fed them. Make them blind and so they won't see you. You don't say, we'll call fire down. Praise the Lord. So that's why he said, Matthew 10, he said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more you? So expect the same. You see, if you expect to carry the same glory that the master carried, expect the same persecution. It can't be less. And God is not going to shield you. He won't. But at the same time, he's not going to put you there before time. So put you behind the rock. Those that are, the Bible said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he puts you behind them. That's why Jesus Christ said something. He said, leave them. Let these ones go. At Gethsemane. They couldn't handle it. He said, no, let these ones go. Let these ones go. No. Covering. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Peter thought he could handle it, but he could not. Praise the Lord. So the third thing I have here is that God is going to remove bad leadership. Both in the nation and in the church. Like Pastor was prophesying on Sunday. But the judgment must begin in the house of God. Say, if the righteous be cast, say, what is the fate of the ungodly and the sinner? It has to begin. It has to begin in the house. When it starts in the house, then it will flow into the nation. But what I'm saying, God has to remove bad leadership. If we read that in Jeremiah 30, we read earlier on. It's going to remove strange children. It is a must. You can't be emotional about it. We don't hate anybody. We don't mention anybody's name when we are praying. But we just have to obey the Spirit of God. Let Him give us utterance. And make sure we are praying with the heart of love. So I'm not imagining and having somebody's picture at the back of your mind. Pastor didn't say visualize. He said visualize the light of the three persons of the Godhead. Not the man that is down the road. Yeah. Yes. You know? So that's what you keep focusing on. Job 34 verse 17. Pastor mentioned it. Job 34 verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? It says, shall even he that hated right govern? And without condemning that is most just. Let's verse 20. 20. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled. A time of Jacob's trouble. At what? Midnight. And pass away, and the man shall be taken without hand. That is not by the flesh. So at the dawning of the day, that's why you see two things occur. Using as a type. At midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Pray. In the time of trouble. Moment by moment. There is trouble at midnight. You see, but your own, what I am supposed to do is use the blood, the word, and spirit to pray like Paul. So as you know, Bible said, the bonds that they used to hold them broke off. The prison doors open now, natural prison. In the same time, I will save Jacob. Relate. I don't want to start talking too much. You're from me. We've been taught very well in this house. So verse 21 of Job 34 says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Verse 22. Just to mention them, there is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. They cannot hide. Amen. They think they can hide. They can't hide. Either in the church or in the world, they can't hide. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, the evil, and the good. They can't hide. from the Spirit of God. Amen. David said, even if I go to hell, you are there. So why do you want to hide? Verse 24. He shall break in pieces mighty men. Say mighty men. Very important. A battle, like Pastor said, was a mighty man. Saul was a mighty man of valor. Without what? Number. And set others in their stead. So the turn of the 40 thieves has come. It's uncountable. God's going to fish them out. He said, Jeremiah says that so the whirlwind of the fury of the Lord has gone forth. With it will fall upon the head of the wicked. He said, he's not going to return until. Jeremiah 23 verse 19. Let us mention it before we move on. 23:19 says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Wicked there is not just those that are stealing and misbehaving. It also has to do with the wicked people in the church, those that cast instructions behind them. Let it be clear. Next verse. The anger of the Lord shall not return. Say, it will not return. He will not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In latter days, he shall consider it perfectly. He will not return until. So your own until is until you grow into the measure of the stature of freedom. There are two things that happen at the same time. So into simultaneously. Are you following me? So let's look at how this is going to operate. I've just mentioned in Psalm 21 verse 8. It's going to come as saints begin to pray in the spirit. We travel. Yes. I didn't say scripture, Pastor, alone. No. Everybody again, even in their own church, wherever they are. He says that, are we there? Pastor, what does he say? Thine hand shall find out all, without exception, thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Remember, Pastor Stotos, what is the right hand of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, at the right hand of God, whoever lived to make intercession, when you are praying in tongues, what is happening? The pastor has told us, God the Holy Spirit is consulting with God the Lord Jesus, the owner of the church that is coming out back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. So he looks at the body of Christ. He looks at those that are, Bible talks about in Peter, those that have spots in your face. So he looks at this one. That's how he's going to pray. So when he begins to pray, he must be now praising through saints everywhere. In tongues we travel. So he begins to execute the judgment that is written. So it's nothing to do with you. We always think, God should use me. God is using you every day, just that you don't know. Hey. So as that's going to know. He said the right hand of the Lord. He said the right, he shall find them out. So it's not physical. Are you following me? He said, shall find out those that hate thee. I don't have time to talk. I've talked about turn to it. Well, Lord, just I give a proper parable. About those that he said they should go and go to work. He said, the citizens told him, go away. You know, he said, when he came back, he said, take those my enemies and slay them before me. So those that will not allow me to rule upon them. Verse 9, please. Say, thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. We're talking spiritually here, not physical fire. Next verse. Their fruit, I found these 40 thieves, shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. And what verse is that again? Yes, 11. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. You see, their device is this. Satan is operating with them. They don't know. The mischievous act is this, that let us keep on doing what we are doing so we can delay the time so the master cannot come. Because as I said, it's coming for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any sort of thing. So the device is that as long as we don't preach and we omit the wicked was out of the law, we will delay the time so we can enjoy more. Amen. Bible says that, look, he said they are the manium that are not able to perform. Are you following me? As a scripture that just comes to my heart, it's not Emmanuel. I think in Zechariah chapter 11, 17. Say, what to the idol shepherd? Yes. Put it on the board. Say, that lives. Say, what to the idol shepherd that liveth the flock? The sword of intercession shall be upon his arm. That ministry will fold up. And upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean, dried up. Remember Jeroboam? Yes. When he stretched out the hand, he said, "God, Agbero, the thing just froze like that." And I begged him for mercy. I follow him in that prophet. He said, "His arms shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." Woe to the idol shepherd. God is not the idol shepherd. Covetous. Pastor has taught us. I just don't have time to. He said they presented their hearts as a portal for Satan to use to do all these funny miracles they are doing. Lying signs and wonders. They've left the flock. You don't leave the flock. But no, what do you mean you left? You see, when God said, "King has left in Saul," he was still reigning. No, he had stopped following on. The heart had departed. Woe to the idol shepherd. Now, after all this has taken place, Jacob is saved, Bali chapter have been removed, all those that were listed. Then what mommy said will now come to pass. Then and only then can glory dwell in our land. The same way that the spirit without measure will not come upon you as an individual, because you are not yet perfect. So it's not going to dwell in the land. Mommy quoted the scripture when she was praying on Sunday, Psalm 84, verse 11. You're talking about abiding glory, the palpable glory of God in the church. It's going to come to the nation because of His own church in the nation.
Amen.
So it's going to dwell. Are you following me? It says that Psalm 84 verse 11. What does it say? It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly or enter perfection." It's not possible. Psalm 85 verse 9. I begin to round up. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, and that God glory may dwell. He wants glory to dwell, abiding presence in the land. Then the second aspect of Psalm 144 will take place. Our oxen will not be strong to labor. There will no breaking. Like that song that choir sang. You know, our daughter will be as polished stones after it's in the palace. You see, it is when that glory dwells, everybody starts misbehaving themselves. But you see, if you even read that in Psalm 85, he was talking on, I don't have time to show there. He said, "Are you going to be angry with us forever?" That is, there's a time of vengeance in which God has to do all those things before the grace can be given to carry the glory that will dwell in the land. It takes the grace of God to carry the glory that will dwell. Praise the Lord. Now, as we begin to close, it's not a long message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All this, like I said, I've mentioned it, is going to take place in this time, is taking place in this time of harvest. I think the Feast of Tabernacles proper will start tomorrow. Just tomorrow. For the next 7 days. We are smack in that season. That's why the Master says something in the book of Matthew 13. I've just read two verses because of time. He said, we've seen this thing. 1990, when I started coming to this church, I've seen these things. You hear pastor's message once or twice. You'll be able to discern. Excuse me, pastor. But, well, let's call fire down. He said, no. Wait till the time of the harvest. Let them grow together. So the wheat and the tears have been growing together into this time of the harvest. 30, what does he say? Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. The parable of wheat and tears. Are we there? It says, "Let both grow." Who said that? The Master. So you know what he's saying. You see, it's not wickedness. His end is not to destroy them. But he said, "I gave them space to repent." So the same nourishment that the wheat were taking, they were also getting it. But by using it to grow leaves, they didn't bear fruit. I'm mixing scriptures together. Follow me. They were the same vineyard. They were in the same place. The same rain was falling. Everything was falling at the same time. But the same soil. But see, those same things, these same faith principles, they were used to just bring forth leaves. That's why the Master said, and it cost it. While others were bringing forth fruits. So I said, "Leave them." So they thought they will know. He said, "Master, that thou must be justified when thou art just." So when that thing occurred, they would say, "Ah, God, you are righteous." So I know that pastor sent, I sent pastor to you. He preached this thing, but you rejected it. You took the ones you liked from it and used it and perfected that message. Are you following my train of thought? I'm just trying to make it so easy. So it says, "Let both grow." Let's say, "Let both grow together until It's time of the harvest. And it is time of the harvest. Time of Jacob's trouble. I will say to the reapers, gather ye out together, force the tares, and bind them in bonds, and burn them, but gather. It's time of the season of feast of ingathering. Gather what? The wheat into my barn. Now, two things I've said. I'm just trying to follow me. I'll read one more scripture again. Jump to verse 43. Arise, shine, the Bible says, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. What is the verse 43? Then, in that season, when they gather the wheat into his barns and they gather the tares. But notice, first, the tares that will be gathered. Because, you see, if you don't gather the tares, the wheat will not shine. That's what I want you to see. The signal is this. When you see judgment begin, and things begin to happen, then it's obvious to you that there's a change of gods. So that covering of darkness over the people is removed. That veil of darkness. The covering they provide is not a covering that will enable the environment for the people to grow. It's a covering of covetousness. So once that thing is removed, whichever way God decides to do, through intercession, then and only then shall what the righteous shine forth as what in the Son in the kingdom of their Father. He who has air to hear, let him hear. Selah. So, like I said, when that occurs, glory now begins to dwell in our land. Now, how would this take place? So, don't go away with tares, weeds, and all that. We've been taught very well. We're going to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect love of God in our lives. That is the antidote to overcoming the tribulation of a church. There's nothing else. You can't hide anywhere. So, we had better, like pastors said, wake up and begin to practice these things. Perhaps being rooted, and the assignment we have now is to be rooted and grounded in love. The measure of, how do I put it in the spirit? The degree to which you are rooted, will determine the amount of the burden or anything you will carry. The degree. So when those things happen, you look at this one, you look at that one. You know, it's not because God hates you, it's the pains of a traveling woman. So you position yourself like a wise man and quickly come out. I follow him. So how is it going to happen? We're going to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect love of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. That's just, it's important to mention that because you don't know those that are watching for the first time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. What does it say? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of his sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do what? Next verse. Make you perfect in every good work. To do is we walk in you, that which is well present in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to glory forevermore. So without the blood, you cannot enter perfection. It's not possible. It's not possible. Then the other one is the word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. We all know it, but let's just mention them. It's important. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is what the love of God perfected. Whereby we know that we are in them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the word of God. Those are the weapons of our warfare. What does it say? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love God, one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. How? Next verse. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. Now let's go back to what we read in Jeremiah chapter 30 about Jacob. He says that we will break his yoke from his neck and the bond. What does the Bible mean by yoke? Pastor has taught us. You see, that means Jacob at this time was carrying a young yoke. You see, yoke here talks about the sin nature. So God is going to remove that yoke as we begin to learn of him. Meekness and lowliness of heart. I'll explain, talking about the life of God, I'll explain briefly so we can stop. Let's open Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30. What does it say? It says that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I follow me. Say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Say, learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That is Jacob's end point. Next verse. Yeah, next verse. Yes. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is that yoke? How do you know that yoke is that life? Pastor shared this many years ago in one of his books. This yoke and light burden. Open John to John chapter 5, verse 39. Put that word at the back of my. Say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So come unto me. Now, Jesus Christ says, search the scriptures, For in them you think you have eternal life. So he's talking about eternal life. And they are they which has found me. Now look at the next verse. He says, and you will not what? Come to me that you might have life. Can you link those scriptures? So he's talking about the yoke of eternal life. You take that yoke of eternal life, and then now you used to pray with travailing prayer. The time of Jacob's trouble, the contractions begin to come. The burden. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, just to put the scripture behind it. Now begin to pray with all kinds of prayer. For we that are in this tabernacle, let's together. For we that are in this tabernacle do what? Do groan. Being what? Burdened. Burdened or travail. Not for that we should be unclothed, but what? Clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I don't want to mention scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. That life of Christ be made manifest in the mortal flesh, the redemption of the body. So it is travail that is going to do it. It only travail that is going to take that life from your spirit into your soul and end into your body. If you like, don't say amen. Amen. So we now take that to begin to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. And one last scripture as I close, you know. John chapter 11. I want the other scripture. I will mention it. Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 5 verse 7. You know, even this of his flesh. But this is what I want to get up. We're talking about trouble now. I'm going to link it with travail. John 11, 3, the master at Lazarus' tomb. Well, it says that when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the tribulation, and the Jews also weeping, out of men feeling them, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jacob's trouble. So what are we saying? The most important thing to go away with here today is that learn to use more effectively the blood, the word, and the spirit through travailing prayer to overcome the spiritual tribulation so you can enter into the perfection of Jesus Christ, perfect love of God in your lives, and then inherit a broad anointing before you now grow on to inherit the fullness of it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a super clap offering. That was a very, very good word. This is a total salvation, spirit, soul, and body in the time of Jacob's trouble. We're already in that time. You know, Pastor Wally taught us last Wednesday about the contractions. And the Bible describes that contractions as the things that we see in the world. It said these are the beginning of sorrows. The modern translation says these are the beginning of the birth pangs. Look at Matthew 24, verse 8. Pastor Ojiri just talked on it. But I want to tie something together just to tie up what Pastor Ojiri has shared with us. You know, so I didn't see it like this before. I've been reading these scriptures for almost 40 years. But for the first time, I saw clearly the link. You know, and it really, most of it is in Romans chapter 8. You know, he said, these are the beginning. Now, give this to me in the Amplified or one of the modern translations, our New International. Exactly. These are the beginning, the early pains of the birth pangs. So, watch this. What are these? Let's go back to verse 8. Nation will rise up against nation. Kingdom against kingdom, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. He said, so these problems we're seeing in the earth are the birth pains, birth pangs. Now, Pastor Wally brought out something very important. He says, as the time of the birth of the baby approaches, watch this. The intensity and the frequency, two different things. Frequency means the amount of time it happens. Intensity means the amount of doubt, the amount of pain that is felt. So both the intensity and the frequency will increase. And it is that increase of the frequency and the intensity that will ultimately bring the baby to birth. Now, I didn't see this before. If you go to Romans chapter 8, Paul picks up this thought. Jesus said it here, but Paul picks it by the Holy Spirit. And then he now ties it into the intercession of the church. You see, let's go back to Romans 8 now and look at verse 19, somewhere in there. And this is what he says in Romans 8. He said, for the earnest expectation. I think you need to give this to me either in the Amplified or New International Version. For even the whole of creation, all nature expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons, not children, to be made known, waits for the revealing and the disclosing of their sonship. The next verse. He said, for the creation was subject to frailty or to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part. In other words, the fault is not the fault of the trees. It's not the fault of the sea. It's not the fault of the mountains. It's not the fault of the natural creation. It is a consequence of man's fall, giving the planet and Adam, turning over the planet to an angel, an archangel that has limited capacity. Because his connection to the source of life has been cut. So there are things Satan just can't do. He's not God. So the planet is breaking up under his control. And the planet is crying for help. Because there are some people on the planet that now have access and connection to the God who created the planet. So when those people get their connection right and release the power of God, he will relieve creation from the bondage of corruption. Is it clear? To the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This is what's going on. The nature itself will be set free from its bondage to decay. You've changed the scripture before I finished. Go back to 20. Thank you. Go back to 20 just for a minute. Go back to 20. Move when I move. The creation, nature, is subjected to frailty, to futility. It's condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by will of him who had so subjected it, yet with the hope. You see, God subjected the creation to Satan because he had to do it legally. You see, God gave the title deed of the earth to Adam. Adam legally gave it to Satan. But God's hope was that even though Adam had delivered the thing to Satan, there was the seed of the woman who was coming that would bruise the head of the serpent and return the creation back to God. Give the Lord a clap offering. So God had that hope. He said, okay, you can take it. You can, yeah, Satan. Okay, Adam has given it to you. All right, fine, you take it. But Adam is going to have children. And I'm going to start with Seth. And then we'll go down. We're going to have a guy called Enoch. Then further down the line is going to come a guy called Abraham. And you keep moving down, there's going to be a guy called David. And then further down the line is going to come a guy called Jesus. And that Jesus will take it and give it back to me. So you can have it for now. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the spirit. This is the thought behind it. Now, verse 21. The nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. So God's children will first of all free themselves. Then when they free themselves, they can now free creation. I'm going to close with this. I never saw this connection with the clarity in which I've seen it now. After Pastor Wiley's message last week, and I was praying the Spirit, it became clear to me. You know, Pastor Wiley has spoken about it again tonight. Watch this. The creation is feeling the frustration because of the lack of power. Satan has power, but you see his power is distorted. He has wisdom, but his wisdom is corrupted. So the whole place is in trouble. So watch this. Because of the sin nature, hatred, wickedness, nation is rising up against nation. You know, there's earthquake, pestilences, you know, famine, all kinds of things are happening inside the planet. The planet is in trouble. So watch this. The creation, men, as well as the natural creation, are feeling this frustration and the bondage, you know, to decay. So you know what? God made them. God made the fallen man. God made the creation. So that frustration that the creation is feeling, God is also feeling it. You know why? Because God is touched with the feeling of the infirmities of his creation. He's tender mercy over all his works. So as the more the frequency and the intensity increases, the more God himself is feeling it. So you know what God does? As God is feeling it, God now transmits what he's feeling to us. So that you too, you begin to feel it. So even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Hallelujah. And then God said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. So the groaning, three sets of people are groaning. Creation is groaning. Man is groaning. God is groaning. So God now licks all the three groanings. He takes the groaning from the creation. He passes it to the church. The church now groans it out with life and power to birth the Son of God. And once the Son of God is birthed, it will now free creation into the glorious liberty. That is what Paul was writing. We groan. Creation groans. God groans. It's actually creation that is groaning. God is feeling it. Then God now takes the groaning and transmits it to us, because we alone have the solution. Because we are men on the earth that have a legal right. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given the sons of men. If we groan the answer out, we will liberate into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Pastor G, can you see how Satan wants to deceive the church and say groaning is of the devil? Whereas it's actually the key. And that's why he says, watch this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm going to close. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The New International Version is the best translation in that I've seen so far. It says, with groans, with wordless groans. But it didn't stop there. And we know that in all things, God is working together for the good of them that love God, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So the end point of the groaning is to bring forth the Son of God in us, that we might be conformed. So the purpose of the groaning is to finally get the Son of God to be birthed in us. And it is when that Son of God, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So when the Son of God is manifested, we can then set creation free. And so when there is hurricane on the river, we can say, peace be still. That's where we're going. I'm going to close with a word the Lord gave me. Pastor G. Just like Abraham and Sarah had life given into their old dead body to give birth to Isaac, in exactly the same way, God is going to give life to our mortal bodies to give birth to the manifestation of the fullness of the Son of God. They birthed Isaac, we will birth the fullness of Jesus. That's why it says, look to Abraham and Sarah. That's the thought behind that. Look to Abraham, Sarah, the rock from where you were hewn. What I did in Abraham, Sarah, I'm going to do in you. They gave birth to Isaac. You will give birth to the fullness of Christ. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. They gave birth to Isaac. You drive, travail. You know, Sarah got pregnant. Hallelujah. With Isaac. And like every natural pregnancy, she had birth pains.
Yeah.
And then she gave birth to laughter. The glorious liberty of the sons of God. We will give birth to the fullness of the Son of God, and creation will start to laugh.
Yay.
It says the trees and something will clap their hands. As the Son of God comes.
Amen.
So that's where we're going. So all this groaning and everything we're feeling, you're seeing Trump, and you're seeing Kim Jong-un, and you're seeing Putin, and all the things of the earth. You know, when you see those things, it motivates you to pray. We see the corruption in Nigeria. We're feeling the groaning of the people. The pain of the Nigerians. So we now pick that same burden. The Holy Spirit transmits it to us. And they say, you pray the solution into the earth.
Amen.
The solution is the fullness of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. So you want to cooperate. You want to cooperate with God. Now you understand the plan. You're going to birth the Son of God. You already have the Son of God in your spirit. But you want to birth him out in the flesh where everybody will see him. Manifest. And it's groaning that's going to do that. Hallelujah. So you're sympathizing. There's something in physics we call it vibrating in resonance. You're resonating with creation. Creation is feeling something, then you are picking what creation. That is the meaning of compassion. Compassion is being touched with the feeling of the infirmities of others. Creation is feeling his infirmity, then we are touched by it with the compassion of Jesus, and then we pray it out so that we can overcome it and set creation free. So the blind will no longer be blind. The lame will start to walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The barren woman will start to give birth to children. All the things that Satan has spoiled, amen, we will come and repair it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Same ministry, same commission, same call, same anointing. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Are you going to be a part of it? Well, to be a part of it, he's told you what to do. Pastor Joe has told us, the blood, the word, and the spirit. Start traveling in the spirit with intensity, with frequency. Two things, frequency and intensity, with the life of God, with the heart of love, the armor of God, pure motive. Then you begin pushing out that thing. Push out that sin nature. Push out that sin nature. And watch this. You first of all free yourself of the sin nature. Then it's when you have done that, you can now come to deal with the one in the air. You can't deal with the one in the air if you have not dealt with the one in your flesh. So it goes, it's from the inside out. You deal with the one in the flesh, then you deal with the one in the air, and then you now deal with those that trouble Israel. Ahab, Saul, and his people. It's a progression. It's like war. You know? When they were in the Nigerian Civil War, let me use that example. I could use World War II, but Nigerian Civil War. You know? When the Civil War broke out, and Biafra was fighting and all of that, the first thing, you know, they did was, it was actually Danjuma who did this. You know, that's what he wrote for his thesis when he was in NDA. He planned the assault of Enugu. They came from the north, from Benue State, and attacked Enugu. So they now began to push pressure. Then the next thing was Black Scorpion. They now came from the soft underbelly. Then they came, you know, that's why they call them the Third Marine Commando. They invaded from River State and something, you know. Then they took strategic places, Calabar and Port Harcourt, the two places that would have given them access to the sea so that they could get supply. After that, it just became an enclave. An enclave means that they were surrounded. It was just a question of time. They just put the pressure in. This is a pincer. Exactly. The same thing in this spiritual battle. You deal with the flesh, then you cut off the one in the air, then Saul and his people are meat for us. Glory be to God. Military strategy. The smartest guy on this planet is God, not the devil. Everything Satan knows, God taught him. So we know better than him. Not because we're better, but because the God who is better is inside us. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Love divine,
of love's extending, joy of heaven to earth come down.
Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of
heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling,
all thy faithful mercy.
In heaven, we take.
thy new creation. Perfectly restored in thee. Hallelujah. Change from glory
into
healing purpose.
Healing purpose.
We take. Hands of God, we're going to pray a very strange prayer. It's not strange actually, but it's unusual. I have a scripture in my heart. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm going to explain to you, then we're going to pray. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but I just want to pray. I want your heart to be in the prayer, so you pray in faith. The Bible says Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Now, I know your body is not dead. Abraham wasn't dead. He wasn't dead. He was alive. But what it meant, it was functionally dead as far as the ability to bring children was concerned. He was 99 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. He said neither the deadness or ineffectiveness. In that condition, at the age of 99 and at the age of 90, neither Abraham's body nor Sarah's womb had the natural ability to bring forth a child. Your natural body now, because of the sin nature inside it, is dead. The body is dead because of sin. So you look at your, just like Abraham, he faced the fact. You too, and I, we face the fact that this body has sin inside it and is dead. Hallelujah. But he said, he staggered not. It's that dead body that God said, it is this your dead body that Isaac is going to come through. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was fully persuaded that what he had promised, watch this, God had the power to perform. So he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So you too, look at your body. We're going to pray in a minute. Say, God, this body, it's a sin and all of it inside. But you said it's this same body that the life of God made manifest through. You said it's inside this same body that the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In fact, God, you actually said, and you cannot lie, that this same body will be filled with all the fullness of God. I staggered not in unbelief at your word. But I am fully persuaded that you are able to do what you said. That you have the power to do what you said. So I am going to be strong in faith, giving glory to you, knowing that like you brought forth Isaac through the dead body of Sarah and Abraham, you will bring forth the fullness of the Son of God through this my dead flesh. Let us pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come tonight, reminding me that like you travailed and gave life into the physical body of Abraham and Sarah, causing them to birth Isaac, the son of promise. So now you will give life to my mortal body to give birth to the manifestation of the fullness of the Son of God, that I will be filled with all the fullness of God. I stagger not in unbelief at the promise of your word, but I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that what you have said, you have the power also to perform. For you have demonstrated to me the first fruits, like the power of God has been made manifest through one part of my body, my tongue. Now the power of God will be made manifest through my entire body, from spirit, soul, and body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray in spirit. Tulumangaras, Jiki Tufris, Longaras, Tulumaras, Tufrines, Nongaras, Jiki Tufres, Lombrudeles, Nikituros, Tufrineles, Dufrides, Tulumatufrines, Tulumatufrines. In Jesus' name, God has manifested his power through one member of your body, your tongue. He's now going to manifest his power through every member of your body. You have that assurance because he has done it through one. So you know he can do it through the others. In Jesus' name.